little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
This is an extended shared option discussion with Hannah about anxiety and depression and how these can be managed.
Hannah, thank you so much for coming back. Just to summarise where things are at the moment. So we've artificially changed the situation and you're now remembering an experience that you had when you were suffering with depression and when you were needing treatment with a medication.
Right. Yes.
So I'm going to guide you through choosing a medication that would be right for you and would have been right for you at the time when you were needing treatment for depression.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
And I realise that from what we've already recorded that you're not depressed at the moment, but you do have enough of an experience of this to allow us to help you through this decision to figure out if you needed an antidepressant or if you had needed an antidepressant that you could have chosen at the time, which antidepressant that you would have chosen. We have a tool in front of us, which is called Making Wiser Choices About Medicines. It's a tool that I've borrowed from the Mayo Clinic in America, but it suits my purposes quite nicely because it summarizes some of the medications that we use quite commonly in the UK, and it tells us a bit about the pros and cons of different medications. Mm. So just to summarize, when we think about using antidepressant medications, they don't always work, but they can work well in conjunction with other treatments. And you're already using a cognitive behavioral therapy as it stands, but you're doing this yourself. At the moment, you haven't engaged the services of a therapist, but that's available to you. I can give you a phone number to allow you to access cognitive behavioral therapy or mindfulness if you chose to have a therapist. So that's available to you. Mm. You made a decision after our discussion that you wanted, because of your depressive symptoms, to have a medication for treating depression. So I'm going to try and guide you through the choices that are there and maybe push you from time to time to suggest what might work for you. But ultimately, it's your choice.
Right.
All right. Now, we said before that 6 out of 10 people will feel better with their first antidepressant that they try.
Hmm.
That reflects the numbers that I presented you to before.
Yeah.
So 6 out of 10 people are going to find that they get better with antidepressant medication. However, 4 out of 10 people would get better without that antidepressant just because we're seeing them.
Yeah.
Or for whatever reason.
Hmm.
So usually my instinct is to say, let me see you in a week's time. We've talked a little bit about this. We'll see how you're feeling after a week. So we've done that now. We've got you back after a week.
Yeah.
And you're now continuing to feel that you want to try an antidepressant. And we're going to bear in mind how your depression is affecting you as to what medication that you might want to take. But it's really important for me to understand and you to understand the potential problems with each of the medications that's available.
Right.
And I'm going to highlight some points along the way.
Okay.
Sleep. You mentioned that sleep's important to you and that at the moment with your sleep that you're waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
So sleep is an issue.
Yes.
Getting off to sleep is not so much of an issue, but sometimes waking up is an issue. If you are having difficulty getting off to sleep, we might elect, or you might elect, to use a medication that could help you get off to sleep more easily.
Mm-hmm.
However, we do find the majority of antidepressant medications have beneficial effects on sleep patterns because often the sleep's poor because you're so worked up that you can't get off to sleep. But that doesn't sound like you at the moment.
No.
But a lot of people also have this problem called early morning wakening.
Yes.
Where they wake up early because of the depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, that can be treated effectively with whatever treatment modality, so that medication or CBT or talking therapies of any sort.
Yeah.
Often, whatever we do to help depression works for sleep, but it's also important to think about sleep hygiene, and that's summarised quite nicely on our website for people that want to access that resource. So if they go onto realgeneralpractice.co.uk, they can then access the resources that we've got that talk about insomnia, so sleep difficulties.
Right.
So they can access that information. It's also on my practice website as well for your information at the moment.
Thank you.
So sleep, medications have different effects on sleep, and some of these antidepressants have a sedative quality to
right.
them. So that might be something that could potentially influence your choice.
Right.
Your underlying weight and your tendency to be underweight or overweight may also influence your decision.
Yeah.
Now, you're not overweight.
I have a tendency to be underweight.
Okay. So it might well be that potentially a medication that would help you gain weight would could be a positive.
Yes.
But a lot of people would probably go in the opposite direction and say that they didn't want anything that could cause them to gain weight. So you might choose a different medication depending on what my recommendations were.
Right.
Depending on that. So what we've got in this chart in front of us here is what could happen to your weight if you chose each of these medications.
Right.
So you might go along these different choices here, sleep, weight, dependence,
yeah.
we're going to talk
yeah,
about
yeah.
that in a second, sexual issues, and then some other things to think about.
Yeah.
So you might go along those and say, oh, I like that because of that, I like that because of that, but I don't like that, and I don't like that. So any one of these potential side effects or issues could be a deal breaker for you when it comes to a choice of medication.
Yeah.
Let's make a guess in the first instance, because that might illustrate your choice or your decision-making process. So let's take, for example, your main symptom has been anxiety.
Mm.
But sleep's not been a main problem because you don't have difficulty getting off
I
to sleep.
I have a difficulty getting off.
And your weight was not something that you complained to me about.
No.
So that's not a priority for you.
No.
So I'm going to make a best guess, and a lot of GPs would start off with using sertraline as a safe and effective first-line treatment for anxiety and depression symptoms.
Yeah.
Okay, so sertraline is right in the middle of this column here.
Yeah,
it's in the SSRI, so it's concentrating on serotonin. It's aimed at lifting your mood and reducing anxiety symptoms. So when it comes to sleep, it's fairly neutral.
Yeah.
And some people would, often GPs would give it to you to take in the morning. Some people find it's a bit energizing, so taking it in the morning makes sense because
yeah.
of that. Some people, bizarrely and strangely, or maybe not so strangely, find that it makes them a little bit drowsy, so they take them on at night. But sometimes you have to experiment with these things.
Yes.
But on the whole, on average, it's fairly neutral when it comes to sleep.
Yeah.
And because it tackles anxiety, if you're having difficulty getting off to sleep, probably you'd find that your sleep, you'd find it more easy to get off to sleep because of that. But
yeah.
it's not sedating.
Right.
That's an important thing.
Mm.
What happens with weight? Well, sertraline would probably, if anything, lead to a tiny bit of weight gain. Wouldn't be a problem for you.
That'd be fine.
Yeah. But it sometimes can cause tummy upset, sometimes can cause diarrhea, but the majority of people don't complain of any of these problems at
right.
all. And they tend to be very temporary side effects.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What happens if you try and stop sertraline?
Okay.
So sertraline is one of those medications where it's not very likely that you'll have difficulty with certain symptoms when you come off it. So
right.
it's not very dependence forming.
No.
Right. Compared to something, for example, like paroxetine. Paroxetine is very difficult to come off.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest thing to come off. Probably the easiest thing to come off would be fluoxetine.
Mm-hmm.
And fluoxetine's been around for an awful long time.
Yeah,
it has
a
great safety record and is very effective and very few side effects. And it's similar when it comes to weight gain, and it's fairly neutral when it comes to sleep issues.
Yeah.
Let's try and compare. We'll keep on comparing those two,
yeah,
and then we'll
yeah.
we'll add some extra ones in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned sex life, and what I would say regarding sex life is it rarely causes any difficulties at all,
mm-hmm.
but it can affect libido, can affect your sex drive, and it certainly can affect the delay in men before they ejaculate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's could be a plus, could be a minus, potentially.
Yeah.
But not for you, and not relevant to you for in your decision-making process.
No.
Do you mind me asking a personal question?
Go on, I know what's it going to be.
What's your libido like?
Fairly, Not anything.
Is your sex life important to you or to your husband?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. Okay, so it's not a priority.
It isn't.
Has it been in the past a priority?
Maybe sort of up till maybe about 10 years ago, and then since then it's not particularly important. We're more friendship than sex, you know.
But closeness. And
closeness,
But sexual intimacy isn't important to,
it isn't
to important. Either of you.
No.
So we're not going to prioritise that.
No.
Fine. Okay, that's helpful to know. Good. You don't need to consider cost, but your GP does.
Of course.
And we kind of need to conserve the nation's
resources. And if we're sort of, in general terms, looking at costs to NHS, then, yeah, we've got to take into account.
Exactly. So it's pretty cost effective. So sertraline and fluoxetine, very cost effective. Fluoxetine, perhaps more so than sertraline. We mentioned other considerations, so we're going to mention this in terms of sertraline because the bottom line is that it's more likely to cause diarrhoea than some of the other medications.
Right.
All right. Fluoxetine potentially might interact with other medications. If you're on a lot of medications, we perhaps might steer clear of fluoxetine and choose the sertraline because it doesn't really...
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you were prone to constipation, you might say... Great, we'll deal with that by giving you some sertraline, and that could be a positive. So it's not always a negative to say that there's a side effect.
Yeah, well, as I've said to you before, I don't need any help in the toilet department. I can get diarrhoea at the drop of a hat.
So maybe sertraline wouldn't be a good choice for you because of that?
Because I have loose bowels.
Yeah, okay.
It's the diet.
Yeah, okay. And you're not on many medications, you're on lisinopril. I wouldn't be too concerned about giving you something like fluoxetine.
Well, I'm taking on your advice and Dr. Halpin's advice, vitamin D tablet, because people at my age don't get much sunlight, so I need the vitamin D.
Great, okay. Shall we perhaps visit, for the sake of the general listening audience, some of those other possibilities when it comes to choosing an antidepressant?
Yeah.
So this sheet is very comprehensive. It goes through most of the choices that are available, generally speaking, to GPs in the UK and also to psychiatrists. I'm going to mention some notable medications that are on this list that some people find particularly helpful for certain issues.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention amitriptyline because you talked about amitriptyline before. And it's been around since the year dot. It's an ancient medication, but it's a wonderful medication because we know about its safety. Now, you're raising your eyebrows for a very
good
reason. Because it is a risky drug in overdose.
And a risky drug for old ladies who are only 5 stone.
So we have to be very cautious about amitriptyline, but it can be enormously powerful. But we wouldn't use it in antidepressant doses in somebody like you. For good reason, because it makes people fall over. But it makes people drowsy, which is quite appealing because it could be enormously good for helping people to sleep. And oftentimes we use just tiny, tiny little doses for the sake of that. We also use it in pain very commonly these days. So we use it very much less frequently for depression, but we do still use it in tiny doses for pain at night and also to help people to sleep. So it's a really helpful drug, but we rarely use it on its own as an antidepressant in antidepressant doses.
Mm-hmm.
So worthwhile knowing about that. And amitriptyline is worthwhile as a preventative drug for migraines and can be enormously helpful for headaches generally. So worthwhile being aware of that. So when your GP is trying to make a decision with you, we have to see you as a patient and as a person with all the other problems that you've got. And we should be able to pick out all those other problems and say, because you've got this and you've got that, then maybe this would work because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So me understanding what your values are and what works for you and what's happened to you before is important in terms of guiding you to make these decisions, which is why you would never just look at this and say, I'm going to have that one. Because your doctor might say, well, there is a problem with that one because of this. So... some of these are licensed also for chronic pain, and I mentioned chronic pain. So amitriptyline is very helpful for chronic pain, but there are other indications. So if you were diabetic with nerve pain, then maybe amitriptyline, maybe duloxetine could be viable choices for that reason too. So they could be things that you could think about. We mentioned a bit about sleep, and it's important to highlight one of the medications that we commonly use to help people that aren't sleeping. And we can sometimes do it temporarily and then swap them over to something else. But for people that aren't eating well, and that's a common thing that goes mm-hmm. with biological depression, yes. deep depression, yes. where people aren't eating properly and they may be losing weight.
Mm.
In people that aren't overweight, then we often use a tablet called mirtazapine. Mirtazapine is an antidepressant that has wonderful side effects, which can sometimes be good and sometimes be bad.
Right.
So we're going to go through those. It helps people to sleep, which right. could be wonderful. Some people just need a rest,
yeah.
and mirtazapine can do that really well.
Yeah.
But it's a double-edged sword.
Right.
So sleeping is often a good quality of sleep that they're going to get with mirtazapine. But we have to think about the drawbacks and problems because it's the one that affects the appetite the most.
Oh, I can see that.
So we really would do a baseline measurement of weight to find out where you're at, warn you about your appetite and say, if you're eating too much, we're going to need to change it to something else. But that would be
yeah.
a consideration.
Yeah.
Again, not a difficult one for you to stop. Paroxetine is the one that's most difficult to stop. So dependence, we talked about dependence earlier on, and we were worried, or you were worried, that some medications might be dependence forming.
Yeah.
In terms of addiction, none of these tablets are actually addictive per se.
Yeah.
They're useful to treat depression.
Mm-hmm.
In about 6 out of 10 people, you'll find a worthwhile improvement compared to 4 out of 10 on a placebo tablet.
Right.
So they're useful for depression, no question about that, but they're not the be-all and end-all. And when you stop them or swap them, and usually we'll keep people on antidepressants for several months until the circumstances have changed or until we've given you enough internal support, often in terms of talking therapies or therapies of one sort or another to protect you, or the stress that caused you depression has passed. So a period of time will pass, and then after that, we would consider weaning you off medication. But some are more difficult to wean off than others. And oftentimes, we might swap you to the easiest tablet, which is fluoxetine.
Mm.
And fluoxetine is the one that's the easiest one to
yeah.
wean you off.
Yeah.
So you might find that a doctor would suggest, well, we've had you on one of these other antidepressants for a while,
yeah.
and we want you to be able to be in control of deciding when you want to take these and not take these. Maybe we could swap you over to something like fluoxetine,
yeah.
which would do the job for you until you could wean off.
Yes.
Or you could wean them off really slowly with our support, whichever works best for
yeah.
you. Yeah. Sexual issues. I'm going to just highlight something about sexual issues. When it comes to it, if somebody has a problem with their sexual health and it's really had a very negative effect on their libido,
mm.
or it really is intolerable that they can't ejaculate because it just takes too long, then we might consider one of the other options as a treatment for depression.
Right.
So there's a tablet called bupropion, which probably doesn't cause the same problems in terms of sexual dysfunction. So it might be an option that your GP could consider with you.
Yeah.
But it's not used very often, and it may not be on the formulary for your area. So it's not always going to be available to you, but it is a potential one that could be used in some patients that are having difficulty with their sex lives. So cost-wise, in terms of medication, we mentioned that before, but we found that sertraline is pretty cost-effective, fluoxetine is very cost-effective, and mirtazapine is not particularly expensive, and amitriptyline is also fairly cost-effective too. Perhaps you and I together can scan down these keep in mind statements that we've got here
right.
on the right hand side.
Yes.
So as a generality or generalization, depression medicine can cause either constipation or diarrhea and nausea, but most of these tend to be very temporary things.
Right.
They theoretically can make you agitated and worked up, but
yes.
particularly when you're first starting on them. So when we first start on a medication, we'd normally give you warning to say, it's very unusual, but watch out for that. And if you're feeling agitated, stop them and let us know. We tend not to use antidepressants in pregnant women.
No.
However,
yeah.
we do have a lot of experience of using antidepressants in pregnant women. And sometimes the risk of stopping treatment will outweigh
yeah.
the benefits. So it's worthwhile not stopping medication until you've discussed it with your doctor. Let them know as quickly as possible that you're pregnant. And then your doctor will decide with you whether it's the right thing for you to be swapping to something safer, possibly, or whether to stop altogether.
Mm.
And some drugs will interact with other drugs.
Right.
Does anything else grab you from what's written down on that keep in mind statement?
Well, as I mentioned before, I wouldn't choose the sertraline because it's more likely to cause diarrhoea, and I can cause that by what I eat.
Yeah, yeah.
So that one would be out.
And quite aside from the fact that it may not be on your health authority or CCG's formula of medicines that they could offer to you, the bupropion or Zyban medication shouldn't be offered to people that are at high risk of seizures because it could increase your risk of seizures.
Yeah.
So that would be something to bear in mind with that choice as well.
And
if you're on a lot of medications, as we mentioned before, fluoxetine might not be a great choice because it can interact with your medication. And medications such as citalopram theoretically might have effects on the electric activity of your heart if you had heart problems. And we've already mentioned that things like amitriptyline in higher doses make people fall over because it make you a little bit sedated.
Mm.
Now, sedations can sometimes be helpful, but you sometimes just need a lot of guidance in getting the right dose to treat the right problem. I'm just going to sum up your choices, okay? So you were keen at the beginning of this process to think about a medication, and there's no pressure on you to make a decision today about medication. You can always delay that and always give me a call or come back and see me if you prefer.
Mm.
We've shared a bit of information about the pros and cons of the various different treatments and the reservations that we have that placebo or just watching you is probably going to work in 4 out of 10 cases anyway, whereas 6 out of 10 people will get better with using medication.
Yes.
So we don't actually have to plump for medication, but if your symptoms at this time are prominent enough, you might get benefit from some of the side effects of the medication in that it may help manage your anxiety symptoms very nicely in the short term. And if you made a decision to have treatment today, we wouldn't need to carry that on for several months. We quite often, when things are being effective for depression, would think about treating you for maybe 6 months, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter. But if you get side effects, we can always stop you and we can always change you. So you can always suck and see when it comes to a medication choice. So you're not committed when you try one. But what I would say about all of them is that there's that tiny risk with all of the medications that they might make you agitated. Because as you're starting to become a bit more with it, you might feel worked up. But that's a small chance. The majority of these will make you feel less anxious when you're on medication.
Do any of them stay in your system for a long time after you've stopped taking them?
Interestingly, the medicines that stay in your system for only a short length of time tend to be the hardest to stop.
And those are paroxetine and venlafaxine. So also,
the ones here that have got the sad faces,
Well, the sad faces are the ones where you'll have symptoms when you miss a day.
Ooh, right.
Okay, so there's two statements here, this stopping approach thing here that we've got, that you could, on where you've got the sad faces, if you miss a dose or miss a couple of doses, you might find that you have some symptoms related to having missed the tablets.
Right.
But these also tend to be the ones that are slightly more likely to be difficult to come off.
Right.
All right. So it might well be that if you decided you had to have one of these ones that's got the unhappy faces or it seems to take a long time to come off, that if you had to use those, we could still use them, but we'd probably want to swap you onto one of the ones that's easier for you to stop, such as fluoxetine, before you stop altogether.
Are any of these lithium-based?
No. So thank you for mentioning lithium. Lithium is still a number one choice of treatment for people that have manic depressive psychosis, so that are really poorly. And it's really worthwhile highlighting that depression affects an enormous number in our population on a rolling basis. So a lot of people will have depression at some time in their lifetimes.
Mm.
That's enormously common. But only a tiny minority will actually have depression and mania. Mania is where you lose touch with reality and you're often overconfident and That can go along with all sorts of consequences, including overspending or just losing touch with reality. So it's a buoyant, too over-positive mood that you could potentially experience. They can run in families a little bit. There's maybe less than 1% of the population that will ever have true manic depressive psychosis. So it's worthwhile bearing that one in mind. And that's part of the anxiety about using some antidepressants like the SSRI family of medication, these serotonin medications, is that theoretically you're more likely, if you've got a tendency towards mania or a tendency towards manic depressive psychosis, to become agitated as a consequence of using these medications. So they may not be the first choice for somebody who's got that tendency. So lithium's a mood stabilizing medication, very effective, but has side effects and drawbacks too. But as a GP, I wouldn't normally be initiating that treatment without the input of a specialist team.
Right.
And that's not what you've got.
No, but I'm asking about it,
yeah,
because my father had it.
Ah.
And I read in the book that only 16% of people inherit depression, anxiety,
yeah,
from parents.
Yeah.
And at one time it was believed that it passed a far, far higher proportion passed down.
Mm.
And since I read that in the book, I thought, that's nice to know. And he was on lithium and he had electric shock treatment and he lost his memory. And
well, it's reassuring to know that you've got to your stage in life with never having had a bout where you've been overconfident, where you've had thought processes that are disorganised or would suggest mania. But we would always give you that proviso, if we're starting a medication to try and lift your mood,
yeah,
to watch out for agitation. And I'd be watching like a hawk to make sure that wouldn't happen.
Well, I sort of felt last week when I saw you that I was sort of doing this all the time, but that was just the feeling that I had, and I wasn't on medication. So.
Yeah. We're taking you back to this slightly artificial situation where you are Hannah and you,
yes,
are, you've got this depressive illness,
mm,
and you're now going to tell me that you've decided that you want to take a medication.
Mm.
And having gone through this process of, yes, I want to take a medication,
mm,
and gone through the choices, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are on this one here.
So fluoxetine.
Yes.
And just tell me through the positive reasons for making that choice.
That it doesn't seem to be addictive. It doesn't seem to be difficult to come off if you need to come off it. It's got a slight side effect of weight gain, and I'm a bit skinny.
Mm-hmm.
It neither supports people who are insomniacs or makes them sleepy, so it hasn't got any effect on sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's not expensive. It's got inhibits libido, but that's matterless to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the additional consideration, more likely to interact with other drugs you're taking, that because I'm only taking the one drug,
so that's not too
you wouldn't let me take it if it was going to interact.
So regarding the sexual dysfunction side of things, so dysfunction means that things aren't, that your sex life can become a bit skewed potentially.
Right.
There's not much of an effect on that, but its most common problem is that there might be a delayed ejaculation in men. So, and it might affect your libido, but that,
yeah,
seems to be much less of an issue.
Mm.
But that's not an issue to you from what you've told me before.
Not an
so that's
issue,
important
though,
to just highlight to other people that are listening.
Yes.
So having spoken to you and gone through your thoughts about where all this was coming from and your worries about the potential that treatment could be a problem to you and what you wanted to get out of my recommendations, and me understanding what's gone before and what sort of support you have in your life and where you come from professionally and culturally, all of those things would make me or help me to make a best guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have said, on the basis of that your one of your biggest fears was being dependent on,
yes,
drugs because of what you told me about what happened before. And fluoxetine would be instinctively a good choice for me to suggest to you.
Mm.
However, this process here is even better because it allows you to be involved in this process. It allows you to take this Mayo Clinic leaflet, making wiser choices about medicines.
Mm.
It allows you to look at all the choices, not on your own, although you might want to look at it on your own in the first instance, then go and see your GP and say, look, I've got this sheet, I've had a look at these, I'm thinking about this, what do you think? That's the sort of decision-making that we're trying to encourage, which is shared decision-making with your doctor.
Yeah.
So when you come to a decision about using medication, then you would probably elect for a cautious trial of fluoxetine, but because of your family history, we would say, let's take it cautiously, see how you go. We'll start you on a small dose. If you become worked up, then you let me know straight away and you stop them for the time being.
Yeah.
But otherwise, don't take them with aspirin or ibuprofen, and do watch out for persistent upper tummy pain or black tarry poo.
Right.
Those are tiny risks, but things that are worthwhile being aware of. And we would see if you responded, and usually we'd expect you to start to respond within 3 or 4 weeks. And we keep a careful eye on you on that.
Yeah.
We've talked already before about the watchful waiting and the follow-up periods and what have you. But usually if we started on a medication, I'd want to know if you were having side effects or problems, particularly the agitation.
Yeah.
And I'd probably want to either speak to you or see you within a couple of weeks just to make sure that the medication was the right thing for you. Because, as we say, 6 out of 10 will respond with a medication. 4 out of 10, even without the medication.
Yeah.
So I'm always a bit cautious about saying take medication. I'd far rather just see you again the following week, and then if you still want to go with medication, go with the medication then. So how should we leave it today in terms of the medication choice?
Going back to how I actually felt at the time,
yeah,
I would have taken anything
to
make me feel better.
Yeah.
At the time, so I would be saying, at the time in April 1989, that I would be just sort of saying, give me a tablet that's going to make me feel better now.
You know? Okay, but we would be giving you the tablet that you chose.
Yes. Okay. That's right.
And
give me this one.
And then you would know, because of all this information,
that
when it came to stopping it, you wouldn't be hooked on it. You wouldn't be dependent upon it. You might need it because the depression was still there, or you hadn't solved the problem, but you hadn't had the talking therapies that would allow you to have the internal resources to be able to protect yourself from becoming depressed again. But at that time, you needed to move on to something else, didn't you? So you needed to move away from the deputy headship and move on to another target.
Another career.
Yeah, exactly.
A different career altogether, which was much more fulfilling, as it turned out.
I think that's been very helpful for me. I know this last section here has been very artificial for you, but I'm really grateful that you've helped me with that process. That's really helpful. Thank you. Just going to highlight, when it comes to choosing medication, the normal duration of treatment when it comes to using antidepressants. So the vast majority of people that I see, if it's the first time that I've seen them with depression, then 6 months treatment will be all that they would normally take. And as I said before, we might try one medication, and then if it's not successful, try a different medication. But usually we'll find a solution that helps them get better, and the vast majority of people get better. And we don't need to involve a psychiatrist, but we'll often involve more than one treatment option and encourage people to seek support in other ways. So as well as the therapy of seeing the doctor and understanding the problem better, trying to problem solve all those issues, talking therapies can be enormously powerful and very useful as well, and very positive. But there are people that then have repeated episodes of depression for whatever reason, and a lot of that will be because there's something else going on, and that might be alcohol, it might be drug use, and it might be chronic bad health in terms of chronic other health problems, so heart problems and lung problems that might sustain their depression and make it more difficult. That might mean that we need to treat them for a longer period of time.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.